The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Carp Subaru Studio.
Welcome.
Welcome to The Big Show. Man, we got a lot of stuff for you today. In fact, I can't mess around. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
I was thinking about my next-door neighbor, moved up here last summer. They had a baby last year in June, so a few months after COVID started. And I was thinking, you know what? Outside of their house, that kid probably has not seen an unmasked face their entire life. Think about that. For little kids who for the last year outside of their home, they haven't seen, other than what can be conveyed by the eyes, they haven't seen any human facial expression. They've never seen a smile outside of their home. Think about that. They've never seen a smile outside of their home. And for little kids who are 2, 3, 4 years old, they don't remember what it was like before April of last year when everybody started masking up. Does anyone think that's healthy for our kids? And the reason I bring this up is because I got an email from a local mom who pointed out a bizarre kids program that's going on. Dory, I'm a local mom to 2 small children. I'm desperate to find some sort of outlet for them to expose them to some or any socialization outside of family. One of my children was 1 when the lockdowns happened. So all she's really ever known is masks and hanging at home or the park when my husband finally ripped down the caution tape this summer. Today, I was looking at signing her up for a local toddler music class in Edmonds. They are meeting outside, not ideal, but okay, fine. Until I saw the requirement for children 5 and older to be triple masked outside. Dory, what are we doing to our children? This is madness, and it feels abusive. I can't imagine putting 3 masks on my small child, even though this doesn't directly affect my child. I know there are parents who will do this, and it sickens me. Please, please, please continue to draw attention to what we are doing to our children. I'm tired of hearing how resilient children are. And then she sent me a link to this class. Now, I'm not going to mention the school. I don't want to harm them in any way. Although there are a couple things on this webpage that are pretty bizarre. But let's start with that masking thing. All participants ages 5 and up must wear a 3-layer mask. Now, as I understand it, that doesn't necessarily mean a surgical mask and then a cloth mask over that and then a bandana over that. I guess some of those surgical masks are technically a 3-layer mask in 1 mask. I don't know. I don't know. I don't care. It's ridiculous putting masks on 5-year-olds. But anyway, back to this music website. All participants ages 5 and up must wear a 3-layer mask. Each family will be spaced 6 feet apart, and a maximum of 12 families will be in each class. And then there's something else that was kind of annoying, too. Outdoor classes canceled for inclement weather will be non-refundable. What? You got to pay for a class that is canceled by you because of weather? Because it does rain here every once in a while. But what are we doing to our children? And I just wonder what the long-term mental effects are going to be on these poor kids. The long-term effects of not seeing a human face outside of their home for more than a year now. And now Fauci says you're supposed to keep masking your kids. Take the mask off your kids. I played a soundbite on yesterday's show that I think is worth reviewing. Savannah Guthrie is one of the most notable news anchors in the country, host of the Today Show. And she had Anthony Fauci on yesterday. And Savannah Guthrie said this.
Sorry, I wasn't ready. We didn't talk about what you were going to need.
Are you not hearing that?
Are you? No. Are you on audio right now? But I can play it for
you. Yeah, you play it. I'm having a computer problem. Yeah, play the Savannah from yesterday, the Fauci mask audio.
Okay, on it.
Sorry about that.
It sets up a strange situation, especially when you start talking about kids. I'll tell you a story. I walked to pick up my little girl at the bus stop yesterday after the CDC recommendations came out. I took off my mask. I waited for her. There was no one else around. She got off the bus with her little mask on. She had to wear her mask. I didn't on the walk home. When are kids going to be able to take off those masks and play outside at the playground?
That's going to be the same thing that I mentioned a moment ago.
Savannah Guthrie asks, when are kids going to be able to take off their masks? When you act like a mom, Savannah Guthrie, and take your kid's mask off. You don't have to listen to the government. You certainly don't have to listen to Anthony Fauci, who a year ago said, nobody needs to wear a mask. And a few months ago said, you should put on two masks. And now he says, we should keep wearing masks. Adults don't need masks. Kids need to wear masks. He's all over the place. And I guarantee that my instincts and your instincts, I said this yesterday, I guarantee my instincts and your instincts about our kids are better than Anthony Fauci's medical, political spin on all of this. I said that yesterday and someone said, and what school did you get your medical degree from? I can take care of my kids better than Anthony Fauci. You can take care of your kids better than Anthony Fauci. But Savannah Guthrie, when can we take the mask off our kid? When you decide to be a mom, crying out loud, take the mask off your kid if you want to. If you want to keep your kid masked, I think it's cruel. But if you want to keep your kid masked, go ahead. It's your business. All right, up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
Which brings me to an interview I'm going to bring to you at the bottom of the hour. I told you about this yesterday. Are the COVID numbers inflated to keep us under tighter control? I've told you about the study. We've talked to the author of it that found that people with who died from being shot with a gun, people who died in car accidents, hundreds and hundreds of people who died from other causes being listed by the state as a COVID-19 death. Well, I got a medical certificate right here in front of me. And the guy who sent it to me, it's his mom's. She died about a month ago. And the guy who sent it to me, he said that his mother had pancreatic cancer. The doctor said she only had a couple of days left to prepare hospice care. And then he got the death certificate from the state of Washington. And it said that his mom died from the second leading cause of her death. First was respiratory failure. Number two was COVID-19. And the hospital said, we tested your mom 2 days before she died, and she had COVID. The guy says, the hospital gets extra money if they have a COVID patient. And he says, I guarantee you, my mom did not die from COVID. She was a couple of days away from dying from pancreatic cancer, which had been eaten away at her for months. Anyway, I have the death certificate. I'm going to talk to that guy at 1:30 this afternoon. But it continues to make me wonder if the state of Washington is inflating these COVID numbers. And, by the way, this guy is down in Pierce County, where they just rolled back from phase three to phase two. And he told me that he had a positive COVID test and needed to have a negative before he went back to work. And he went every day because he wanted to get back to work. Positive, 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 negative. He had six positive tests. He believes from his documentation that that was counted as six separate new COVID patients because one person tested positive six times. We'll talk to this man at 1:30 this afternoon. You will hear his story. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
You're also going to hear another story coming up at 12:30 this afternoon. This is one that, this is a tough one. And I'm curious, before I talk to the guy, what would your advice be? I'll tell you what's going on, then you can shoot me a text. But this guy's freshman college age daughter, about as healthy as a kid can be. She's a state long distance runner. Competed in the state tournament as a long-distance runner, fit, healthy, 18-year-old. She got accepted to Wazoo. All the classes are remote right now for the Cougs. And I love Washington State University. Didn't used to. My wife and I met at the UW. My two oldest daughters went to the UW. I was not a kook. And then my youngest daughter went to Wazoo. And she loved it. And she blossomed there and is doing great in her post-college career. And any place that is that bright and shining of a place in any of my kids' hearts, I'm going to love too. So I love Wazoo. So anyway. Washington State University has said, we're going to bring kids back to campus, but they must be vaccinated. Well, this dad went to the Johns Hopkins Health Finder website to see exactly what his daughter's risk of dying of COVID was. It's less than 1 in 10 million. By comparison, your chance of being hit by lightning is about 1 in 15,000. This is less than 1 in 10 million. And he's like me. I got the vaccine because I think my risk profile is much higher than my kids. My wife got the vaccine. A couple of my kids got the vaccine. But for my kids, I think it was a wash whether they should get it or not. I think there's zero upside to getting it for a healthy 26-year-old. And there's an unknown downside because it's the most untested vaccine to ever go to market. And I have no idea if there are going to be long-term reveals. You know, 1, 3, 5, 10 years from now. I don't know. But for a healthy kid, I wouldn't push for the vaccine. If they want to get it, get it. But if you don't want to get it, you shouldn't have to. I think that it's illegal for the state of Washington, for the government, because Washington State is a public university, to mandate that the government must inject you with the most untested vaccine in the history of our country. And this dad does not want his daughter vaccinated, but she loves being a Cougar. And she's been in school already for this school year, remotely. She can't wait to go and live on campus. And when you fall in love with a college, that's not an easy love to get away from. What do? If you're that dad, do you say, just get the vaccine anyway. I don't like it, but get it. Do you say, time to find another college? I'll find out what this dad's thinking is. But we'll talk to him right after the 12:30 news. All right. And finally, in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Big local.
This story is really unbelievable. Billy Graham. I'm not big on the televangelists who live in the $5 million mansions and they fly in their church's Gulf Stream all around the world. Who's that? Remember that guy a few years ago? And he asked his donors to buy him an upgraded private jet because he wanted a Gulf Stream instead of whatever jet he was using. I mean, it's just biggest scam artists in the world. The big televangelists who live the opulent lives. I have great respect for the late Billy Graham, who lived a very, very modest life his entire life. He could fill stadiums around the world. He knew every president in his lifetime. He could have made himself personally wealthy, but that would have betrayed the purity of motive. He always lived a very humble life. His son, Franklin Graham, is carrying on dad's work. And Franklin Graham was going to have a dinner in major cities to express appreciation for the brave men and women in law enforcement. And one of those dinners was going to be here in Seattle. The Seattle Police Department rejected this dinner from Franklin Graham. And the reason why is because Franklin Graham is a very biblical Christian. And even though the leftists and Antifa have demonized the cops, the police apparently think that evangelical Christians are even lower. And yes, I usually defend the police, but this is disgusting what the Seattle police did. Seattle Police Chief Adrian Diaz revoked a department-wide email inviting the cops to this appreciation dinner. And he said them going to a Franklin Graham dinner might alienate our community's LGBTQ members. Everyone accuses me of blindly supporting the police. Uh-uh. Not when they do something so powerfully wrong. So you reject God because you're afraid that a mob will come after you for that. How weak. Interim Chief Adrian Diaz, you have revealed yourself to be an unbelievably weak leader, refusing to attend, and it was optional for the cops. It was just an appreciation dinner. If you're a cop of faith, you could have gone and had a beautiful dinner at a 4-star hotel. But it might offend the LGBTQ community, and so Adrian Diaz revoked the invitation. Absolutely disgusting. Adrian Diaz reveals what a weak leader he is, and that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, we're going to check the news for you, and then I'm going to talk to that Coug dad. What would you do if you didn't want your kid vaccinated and the government is insisting that she be vaccinated? Text me, 98973. Lots more to come on the Dory Monson Show. As I've talked about a lot, I am not an anti-vaxxer. My wife and I have both been vaccinated. Two of my daughters chose to get vaccinated. I talked with all of them about it. And I said, if you're a young, healthy, you know, 20-something, 30-something, I don't think there's any benefit to the vaccine. The downside risk is unknown because this is the most untested vaccine ever to go to the marketplace, and I have no idea what it's going to mean or do, if anything, in 1 or 3 or 5 or 10 years. But I think that the unknown is worth including in your calculation. Washington State University is going to mandate that students be vaccinated to return to campus, and I heard from a fellow Coug dad who isn't very pleased with this. His name is Tim. He joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Tim, good to talk to you. I appreciate you reaching out to me.
Hi, Dory. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and, you know, reading your email to me and to Washington State, We sound a lot alike on this topic, that we're not anti-vaxxers. You don't mind giving your kids the thoroughly tested polio and mumps, measles, rubella, and all of that. But you do have some questions about these COVID-19 vaccines, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I just don't understand the mandate, especially from a state school, for my daughter.
Well, and talk about some of the stats that you gave, because you went to, it sounds like your daughter's an athlete, a distance runner, right?
Correct.
Okay. And you went to the Johns Hopkins risk calculator, and what did you find out?
Well, when I put in her height, weight, and no underlying conditions and ran the risk calculator, it came back with a 0.9 per 10 million risk for her of death from COVID-19.
Okay. Less than 1 in 10 million. And how does that compare to some other risks that we face every day in life?
Well, you know, like I told the president's office when I spoke to him, she's more likely to die in a car wreck, which is 1 in 106, and lightning strike, 1 in 15,300. I don't understand the analysis they've done to decide to mandate that students that are extremely healthy get the vaccine.
I don't either. And you said something very important a couple of minutes ago. This is a state school. I do make a distinction. PLU has announced that they're going to mandate vaccines. As a private school, I think it's within their right to do so. I have a real problem with a public school like Washington State. Everybody who works there is a government employee, and for the government to mandate something that you as a parent or your daughter may be uncomfortable with, that has an unknown risk factor in the future, seems horribly unconstitutional to me. I don't think the government should be able to mandate something like this.
No, and I mean, always it's your body, your choice, but apparently not in this situation. And I don't understand it for my daughter. She has almost immeasurable risk compared to unknown risk with a not a well-vetted or long-standing vaccine. And I've prepared her with all the normal vaccines. We've also added Hep A and Hep B over time, the
yep.
HPV vaccine, meningitis as well.
Yeah.
So not against vaccines.
Right.
Just waiting for more data.
Yeah, we're the same way. Our daughters have been vaccinated against everything you just mentioned. But yeah, we just don't have the data. So you called the school. What did they tell you?
I explained to them my concern, and they were just just kind of blew me off and said, well, that's the decision we made. You can do these waiver things. And I go, yes, but your waiver qualifications also state that they won't be able to be on campus, that they have other things and other costs that we will incur as a result of your vaccine mandate. And so I proceeded to tell her, I guess I can, worst case scenario, have her transfer to a school in Florida or Texas that has had their students in class all year long.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and so what do you do as a dad? Because I will tell you, Tim, as a fellow Coug dad, my youngest daughter, she had a fantastic experience there. And even though my wife and I and our two oldest girls are Huskies, I also love Washington State because my youngest just had such a fantastic time and just blossomed and is doing really well professionally now. So what do you do as a dad when it comes down to injecting an untested vaccine that you have concerns about versus going to a university that's admitted your kid that I'm confident she would have a great time at?
No, and she enjoys WSU, and it's not like she wants to leave. But I said, I'm not on board with this because the risk is far higher for you, and it's unknown. And you're probably in the healthiest 0.1% of kids your age at 19, 20 years old.
Yeah. So what do you do? What are you going to do?
I told her that she needs to consider and look at other options that she would want to transfer to school-wise. because I go, if I'm going to contribute financially, I go, I'm not going to do it under a government mandate, which, in my opinion, is unconstitutional to begin with, let alone morally and analytically incorrect.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right about all of those things. Is she okay with that?
She's not the most happy, but I've explained it to her. I've copied her in on the email. I've sent the president's office at WSU. I've told her about the conversations. It's basically our dinner conversation every night.
Yeah. Man, this is so wrong. And as I said, I'm just wondering if there's going to be a class action lawsuit on. I wonder if there's some constitutional attorney out there who would take this on. Because, and you said something else a couple of minutes ago. It's just ironic because Washington State, it's not as far left as the UW these days, but it's left. And they are always saying, you leave our bodies alone. My body, my right, is the quote you had. And yet now they're saying, but we, the government, are going to tell you what you must do with your body. That's ironic at best and a little twisted at worst.
No, and I mean, if I have a mother turning 90, I recommended she get the vaccine because the risk calculation is different.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm opposed or unable to analyze my own risk, but the last time I checked, we were still a free country, especially when it involved government-funded or state institutions throughout the United States.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that huge distinction in my view between Washington State and PLU for that very reason. Well, like I said, I'd be interested to see if some constitutional attorney wants to take a crack at this one with Washington State. I wish they would. And will you keep me posted on what you and your family decide, Tim?
Yes, absolutely, Dory.
Okay. Hey, thanks for reaching out to me. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right. Fellow Coug dad, Tim, whose daughter may transfer from Washington State because of their mandatory vaccine requirement to return to campus. I think it is absolutely wrong. I agree with Tim for government to force that on somebody who does not want it. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show.
Got this in pocket, gunpowder, I'm gonna use it, intention.
Oh, let you connect the bumper music to the news I have for you here. I just really, really want to know who's running the country. Because I know, and you know, even if you are the most passionate Democrat, you know that Joe Biden is not running the country. He read a teleprompter a couple nights ago. But, man, he did a thing in Georgia, public event with the two new senators in Georgia, Warnock and can't remember the other or the senator's name. So they've got music playing, and Joe's at a podium, and Jill walks up. And Jill puts her hand up. Jill's got a mask on. Joe doesn't. Joe doesn't need a mask because it's outside and he's been vaccinated. And the CDC says vaccinated adults don't need to wear a mask outside. But we must keep up the charade with our politicians. And so Jill walks up to Joe and she's putting her hand against her mouth. Like she's saying, where's your mask? Where's your mask? Where's your mask? And then they start looking for Joe's mask. That's the music that's playing as he's introducing the two senators. And now Joe's looking for the mask. He's looking all around the podium. Jill comes along, and Jill's looking for the mask. They pick up the notebook that Joe has. And they open it up, and they're looking for Joe's mask still.
I'm so glad I finally found you.
And then finally, after all of that, Jill starts patting Joe's coat pocket and Joe's mask was in his pocket. And it took a minute of opening a notebook, and he's patting his chest, and he is just looking everywhere for it. And it was somebody who looked like they weren't all there. It took him a minute to find that mask. Now, in all fairness to Joe, I do remember a couple of years ago when I was sitting in the studio right as the show was going on the air, and I didn't have my reading glasses, and I said to Nicole, I said, "Oh, would you run out to my desk and get my reading glasses for me?" And she said, "They're on top of your head." So I will admit that I suffer from a bit of dementia myself, but you already knew that as a listener to this show, right? Also, Joe's been doing some media rounds. He went on the Today Show this morning, and he was asked about the immigration crisis at the border.
Before you took office in January, you laid out four crises that demanded urgent action. The pandemic was obviously one of them. The economic fallout as a result of the pandemic was one of them. Climate change and racial inequality. Immigration was not one of the crises that demanded urgent action in January. Does it demand urgent action now? Is what's happening at the southern border, is it a crisis?
It is getting urgent action now. Here's what happened, Craig. The failure to have a real transition, the two departments that didn't give us access to virtually anything were the...
And what he will not say, and then he said it's not a crisis. He is the one who said during the Democratic debate, the day I take office, I want you to surge the border. He asked for this specifically. We've played the audio many, many times. Children are being stacked up like cordwood. Remember when Pramila Jayapal and Jenny Durkin pretended to care about the children at the border a couple of years ago? And they flew down to monitor the conditions because they were such caring individuals about migrant children. They couldn't care less today. The only difference is Joe Biden's president instead of Donald Trump. All of their professed concern for kids was completely made up, absolutely manufactured. But here's one thing, another thing that I found out. I love these media montages that prove that the media all operates off the exact same script. So after Joe Biden's speech a couple of nights ago, he, right afterwards, all the networks, they told us how bold and ambitious it is to add $6 trillion to our nation's debt. But they all use the exact same language. You don't think this is scripted by the Biden administration, by the Democratic Party, with their partners in the media?
President Biden delivers his first address to Congress, laying out a bold plan to rebuild the country.
The president of the United States offering a bold new plan.
Big, bold, huge, progressive ideas.
Big and bold, really bold, sweeping legislation.
Big, bold, ambitious plans.
We've been talking over these last few moments about how bold these plans are, how ambitious they are.
Perhaps the most ambitious progressive agenda since LBJ or even Franklin Roosevelt.
Like FDR or LBJ.
It is either Johnsonian or Rooseveltian.
This certainly was a joint address like we have never seen before. The president, though, seizing this moment to outline his sweeping, ambitious agenda.
President Biden laying out ambitious plans to Congress.
Ambitious in scope, intimate in tone. He was whispering at times.
The president also laying out his ambitious.
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 Ambitious agenda.
An ambitious agenda for the future.
$4 trillion in spending, that's really ambitious.
Ambitious, but may ultimately prove very popular.
It's a very popular plan, according to our polls.
A lot of the things that are in those spending packages are incredibly popular.
Given that level of support in those polls, can't you try to cut a deal here?
Bold and ambitious. Your fair, unbiased media. all reading from the exact same script. Check the news, and then the Fast 15 coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, let me tell you.